try not to keep you very long this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. I love the book of Hebrews, and I love this chapter. And it seems like during this pandemic time, I've just spent a lot of time in it. And I've read it in multiple translations. I just went back and read it over and over again, just to see what everybody has to say, you know, different concordances and so on. And it says this, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. This seems kind of strange, doesn't it? In the Bible, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There was a guy in our church when I was growing up, and he used to sing this song, went like this: "There are some things I may not know. There are some places I just cannot go. But this one thing I surely know. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. My God is real. He's real in my soul. For he has washed and he made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul." Let me just sing that chorus again. "My God is real." You can sing it with me if you want. "He's real in my soul, for he has washed and he made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul." So I want to preach this morning on that thought. Do you believe God is real? I know the answer. You know, everybody's like, "Oh yeah, I know God is real. I believe God is real." I was at a place of business one day, and a young man at the counter was standing at the counter buying something, and I used to do substitute teaching, and I'd had him in class like multiple times, and he was a good friend of my son's. I have three sons. They're all 4 years apart, and he was in between the two oldest ones. And he played baseball with them. And so, you know, he waved and we stopped. And on the way out to his car, we chatted. And I said, "Mike, how you doing?" And he said, "You wouldn't be very proud of me, Mr. Bond." He said, I'm studying atheism." And I said, "You're studying atheism? Why would you do that?" He said, "Let me just say this. I know God is real." He said, "I know God is real. And so I couldn't be an atheist because I know that God is real. And here's the reason that I know God is real, Mr. Bond." He said, "Because there's three men in my life," and his dad had left at an early age. But he said, "There's three men in my life that I have a tremendous amount of respect for and very complimentary." He said, "You're one of them, Mr. Bond." And he said, "When I'm around these three men, I feel something that I don't feel when I'm around anybody else. I feel a peace that I know is not of this world. It has to come from God. But I just don't know if that God really cares about me or loves me." Well, one of two things. Either he just did not really believe in God enough to accept the love of God and to experience God for himself, or he understood God well enough to know that God doesn't abide with sin, and he didn't want to give up his sin in order to have the relationship with God that he knew he needed to have. So we can say, yes, I believe in God, but then to really be able to say, I believe in God, is a different thing. And I think that it's a relative question that we all should ask ourselves. Just a couple things, a couple verses out of the Word of God. Psalms chapter 24, verse 1. You say, I believe in God. Listen to this. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Is that the God you believe in? Amen. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12 says, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? I believe in God. But, oh, God, I'm going through so much today, and there's so many things in front of me, and I just don't know if, you know, we're ever going to make it through this pandemic, and while we're in it, I just don't know if I can do anything for God. But I believe in God. You understand what I'm saying this morning? Let me just read a couple of other verses first. Luke 12 and 6 says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Okay, I can believe that God measures out the heavens and holds the waters in the hollows of his hand. I believe that he created the world. I believe all of the, but here's the personal thing. Now God says, and I care about all the hairs on your head. I care about every aspect of your life. So God brings it down from this creator position, this position of holding the world in the palm of its hand, and says, but I not only hold the world in the palm of my hand, but I hold you in the palm of my hand, and I care about you and every aspect of your life. So is that the God that we really believe in? And I'm not here this morning. I didn't come down here to hammer you over the head and you know, make you feel like a sinner and like you don't really believe in God. That's not my point. I just think it's a valid question that we all need to answer from time to time. You know, I have to stop. I'm a preacher. I know God called me to preach. I can take you back to the place where he called me. I can tell you the words that he spoke. I can tell you story after story of times that he confirmed that. I can tell you of things through the year that have proven my calling. But I tell you what, every once in a while, I just have to stop and get on my knees and spend time with God and just ask myself, do I really believe in what I preach? Am I just preaching what I know in my head, or am I preaching what I feel in my heart? Am I living? We all need to stop every once in a while and say, am I living what I live because I've been taught that's the right way to live? It's the way that Christians live. Am I living this way and doing these things? Am I doing the work in the church that I do because that's what you're supposed to do? Or am I doing it because in my heart of hearts, I believe that there's a God in heaven, amen, who gave his only begotten son to die on a cross that world might be saved. This morning I sat down for just a minute and opened up Facebook, and one of my, you know, you have memories that pop up every once in a while, and my memory that popped up for today was this. It was a C.S. Lewis quote, And I thought, how appropriate, and must be God saying, yeah, you're on the right track here, because it said we must lay before him what is in us, not what ought to be in us. It is so important for us to be open to the scrutiny of the Spirit and pray, Lord, create within me a clean heart. Not what should be or what was yesterday, but what is today. Amen. Let me just point a few things out to you this morning. And I'm not going to take long, but I think that you can take this and just, you know, you can expand on it in your own thoughts and ask yourself that question in the ways that you know that you need to ask it. But let me just point out a few things this morning. You see, the depth of our belief in God, the depth of our belief in God will have a direct impact on every area of our life. The depth of our belief in God will have a direct impact on every area of our life. If we really believe that God is real, then we understand that his depth, his height, his length, his breadth are past finding out. And we can't stand the thought of knowing less of him than is possible. Just read that again, all right? If we really believe that God is real, then we understand that his depth, his height, his length, and his breadth are past finding out. And we can't stand the thought, of knowing less of him than impossible. If that is true, then it affects our Bible study time, the way that we study our Bible, amen, the depth with which we pursue the Word of God, where we allow the Word of God to take us, amen. Our prayer life changes because now we go from this, you know, I need prayer to this prayer that says, God, I want to know more about you. I want to have a greater relationship with God. Lord, in my prayer time today, teach me something about you. We prayed for Brother Hampton this morning. Somewhere in the middle of the year last year, I talked to him, and he said, I've learned this. You know, I always ask him. He is so deep in the Word of God, and always has such great thoughts. I used to travel with him sometime, and he would come. We were going to Ohio mostly, and a few other places. But he would come by and stay in our house overnight. Then we'd get up early the next morning and leave. And we lived about a mile and a half from the interstate. And before we'd get to the interstate, I'm telling you, you were so deep in the Word of God. You were like, oh my goodness, what in the world is going on here? I mean, Brother Hampton's just that kind of man that takes you deeper and deeper. And so I said, Brother, do you have any nuggets you've been studying out? I just need to hear something, you know, from the Word of God. He said, I'll tell you one thing I've learned during this. He said, I have learned that relationship is more important than anything. My relationship with God is more important than even my work for God. Do we really believe in God? Amen. If we do, our habits change. We know that, right? If you were lost and now you're found, you know that when you got up from that altar, suddenly the things that you loved before just seem frivolous anymore, and you didn't want to have a part in them. And in fact, some of them just seemed dirty and filthy, and you were so glad to get them out of your life because you felt so clean now that you knew God. Amen. Where and how we spend our time changes. Because now it's more important to spend time with God than anything else. If we really believe God is real, we want to see things as God sees them. We want to see things as God sees them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How many are glad today that God loved us while we were yet sinners? But yet sometimes we can be so judgmental of the world. And sometimes we can look at a world and the great mess that it's in and see impossibilities. We see lives that we think cannot be transformed or changed. Lives that are so hard they don't want to be transformed or changed. But God never sees anyone that way. Amen? God sees everyone with love and compassion. He sent his Son to die that they might be delivered. And God sees the possibilities of what that person can be once they allow him into their life. Amen. He doesn't see brokenness where we see brokenness. He sees a person who's whole and put back together. He doesn't see failure where we see failure. Amen. He sees someone who can be set back on the right track and they can become a success for God. He sees families, amen, that can be brought back together and children that can be raised in the goodness of God. What we see, God sees in a different manner. If you really believe that God is, you want to see things as God sees them, not the way that you see them. We look at problems and troubles in this world and we say, man, that's a huge problem. God looks at it and says, just a molehill. Remember David and Goliath? It was one of my favorite stories in the Bible. I tell my grandkids, one of my grandsons, he would come over and spend the night, and he used to take a nap, you know, when he's younger, and I would have to lay down with him, and he'd say, Grandpa, or Papa, he called me Papa, tell me a story. I'd say, well, what do you want to hear today? David. I said, okay, we'll tell you about David. David and Goliath. And here's the thing I love about that story. Everybody in the army was afraid of Goliath. And when David walked out, Goliath at first was, I think, kind of amused, and then he was mad. And he starts making threats to this kid, basically, to him, and a guy with no armor, just a slingshot and stone, and he just gets furious with him. And he tells him, I'm going to chop your head off. I'm going to cut you to pieces. I'm going to feed you to the birds. And, you know, I mean, he just, what he's going to do to David. And David says, wait, you got this all wrong. You're not fighting me. You're fighting God. Isn't that awesome? You see, that's how God saw it. He didn't see this kid fighting this giant, amen, but God saw this giant fighting him, and he's like, who are you, amen, to defy my armies? If you really believe that God is, you want to see things the way that God sees them. It affects how we see the world, but more importantly, it affects how we see ourselves. You know, the Bible said it's easy to look in the mirror and say, oh, there's this and that. You know, I look in the mirror sometimes, and I'll just tell you the truth. I am not 18 anymore. I know a lot of you think I probably, you know, you're probably surprised by that. And I look in the mirror and I think, I don't look like I did when I was 18. I don't even look like I did when I was 30 or 40. Good grief. I don't even look like I did when I was 60. Man, you need to go down and get on the treadmill and whatever, you know. You need to start walking. And then I walk away and I feel like I'm 16 again. I've already forgot that I don't look like that anymore. You're like that too, aren't you? You've had those experiences. Yeah. And the Bible says that's the way we are. We look in the mirror and we see ourselves as we are, and then we turn away and we forget. But if we really believe that God is real, then we want to see ourselves the way that he sees us, not the way that we see us. Because you don't know your heart. Amen? You don't know your heart. You remember Peter, the guy that denied Christ? And they came up to him and they said, you were with him. And he said, I don't know him. I don't know him. And I think what Peter was really saying was, I thought I knew him, but I don't know him. I never expected this to happen. I didn't see him in that way. I don't know who he is anymore. And when Jesus came and he said, Peter, you know, they're at the seashore now. And he says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yeah, you know I love you. He said, Peter, do you love me? He said, yeah, you know I do. And if you read it in the Greek, it's a little bit different, the words that he uses. But basically what happens the third time is he says, I think I love you. But probably in this way, not the way I want to. You see, you've made me see myself in a different light. Understand? If we believe God is real, what's it going to do to our faith? Brother Jarvis said, you're going to start with this new theme and stepping out by faith. Well, it just seems too big. It seems too hard. And look, we've got COVID going on, and we've got elections just took place. We got a new president, and we got a new cabinet, and we got a new Congress, and we got things going on around the world, and we've got this and that. And we get our mind on all of that, right? But if we really believe that God is real, we don't look at those things. We look at God. Amen? And our faith is encouraged and lifted up. And we walk by faith, not by sight. I hope I didn't make anybody mad. You think, oh, Brother Bond doesn't think we believe in God. No, I'm not that way at all. I know that most people here believe in God. And I do too. But sometimes I just want to stop and say, how well do I really know him? Because it seems like if I knew him better, I would be better. Amen? Let's stand this morning. Heavenly Father, we love you today. So very thankful for your love for us. We're so thankful that you are real, that we can know you in ways that far beyond even what we know you now. Lord, your depth is past finding out. And Lord, I pray this morning that you put within our hearts right now of every person here a greater desire to know you. Hallelujah, in a greater measure than they ever have. Because the things that we're going to face are going to require even greater depth of knowledge of you and your will and your work. And so, Lord, I'm praying this morning that you just right now put a tug on every heart right here in this building. God, put a tug on our hearts and draw us to that place where we want to know your realness in a greater depth. And Lord, we give you all the praise for it this morning in Jesus' name. I want to ask you this morning to come and pray. If you're here and you're not saved, if you don't